We're going to continue our series on the family. And it's so very fitting, isn't it, that Father's Day falls in the midst of this series. Last time we were together, we talked about how the family is God's design. It's God's idea. The family is the building blocks of society. And God has specifically designed the family, father and mother, and children. And we as a church must do our part in teaching the next generation to keep looking to God and His design. Because the world, as you very well know, has propagated its own ideas. And we must not be surprised at that, because we live in a world and in a society that is anti-God or has rejected God and His existence altogether. So the family is certainly God's design. The family also is a place. It is a place where teaching is designed to take place. Think about this, if you will. God gave, through the inspiration of the Spirit, the first five books of the law to Moses while he was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness. In those writings, God gave the book of Genesis, which established, first of all, that God was creator, and second of all, that God had a plan with mankind. Man, woman, and children, and they were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We know in Genesis chapter 3 that mankind sinned, and the curse of sin came upon all mankind. But we know in the midst of that declaration of the curse that God gave upon man, that He said to the woman that there shall be your seed who will crush the head of the serpent. And so what we see next is we see Adam and Eve, they have children. And why bring up children in a sin-cursed world? It's because they understood the value of family and that God's redemptive plan demanded that a family unit be started. That children come. And so Cain was born, and Abel. And you know what happened with Cain and Abel? Cain murdered Abel. And this was all over the worship of God, which implies to us that Adam and Eve had taught their sons that they were to bring offerings to the Lord. But Cain chose his own offering, and Abel chose God's choice. Cain killed Abel. Cain was banished, leaving Adam and Eve with no one again. But the scriptures tell us that they had another son, and their son was Seth. And it was through Seth that God would raise up His seed. Think about it. How in the world, how was it that before the inspired writings of Moses were given to the people in the wilderness wanderings, how in the world did this truth about creation and about God make its way through the people all the way through Egypt? It's because there was this unit, this family unit, where the parents, specifically the fathers, would have transferred down to their children the truths that they had learned from their fathers. And so you had this go from generation to generation. Now, you know, you can study the beginning chapters of Genesis and know that the world was full of wickedness. But I believe that God prepared and preserved a remnant of people throughout those years. We know we come to Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God preserved Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives. And so the earth was repopulated again from this family unit. The family is a place. And we as parents, and specifically fathers, we need to understand what needs to happen in this place. And by place, what I am saying is I'm not specifically just saying of four physical walls called a house. But I'm talking about a place that is secure. A place that is relationships. A place where there is structure. And so therefore a place where education and communication and teaching can happen. A place where children can look up and say, "Daddy, why does the sun shine during the day and the moon at night?" A place where the daughter can say, "Mommy, where do babies come from?" A place that can say, where children can look up to Daddy and say, "Daddy, why do we bring offerings? And who are we bringing these offerings to?" The family is a place, and a beautiful place that God has designed, where training and teaching is to happen. This is imperative and important for us to get. And I know that there are many of you that's sitting there, and you say, "Pastor, I know that." What do you teach? What are you supposed to be communicating? And I want to submit to you that it needs to be more than your team colors. And it needs to be more than the statistics of your ball team. It needs to be more than your secret recipe. It needs to be the fundamental truth of who God is and what He has done. It needs to include the history of the world as told by God. It needs to involve God's truth and how He has worked it in your life. Lest you think of this and you might say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know this?" Okay, let's talk proof. Why is this so important? Okay, I want to be a man of the word. I want you to be a man, woman, child of the word. Why is this important enough to preach? All right, so we're going to go to a couple scriptures today. Deuteronomy. I want to start in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Again, given to the generation, the new generation just outside of the promised land. These are Israelites. This was written by Moses just before he died. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, we read, "Only take heed to yourself Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them your sons and your sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Notice there is a transfer of truth and testimony to the next generation. And the family is the primary place that this is to take place. This is to happen. This is an exhortation to us as fathers that we do not farm out the training and teaching of our children to others, but that it be up to us to be the primary teachers and investors in the spiritual lives of our children. The Israelites needed to communicate with their children what happened at Horeb. What is that? That's Mount Sinai, where God came down on that mountain and he communicated his glory and his law to the people of Israel. Listen, children, you need to understand God wants you to know him as mighty, and he wants you to know his standard is righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 6, just a few pages back. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, we read this. And these words which I am command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Listen, the time that you have with your children is precious and limited. I know that. Men, it's very different today than it might would have been for them in an agricultural society where the sons would have worked with the dads on the farm. Now, I know many farmers here today, but the multi-generational farming thing seems to be going by the wayside. And so often, the way of our society is dad goes out to work, and so the time with the children is limited. But the principle remains the same. We must take every opportunity to invest in the lives of our children. A couple of weeks ago, my boys had some friends over, and we were sitting around the table at the lunch table. And it's a blast. I have six boys of my own, and then when other boys come, it just adds. Now, boys were doing what boys like to do. They were just bragging on their dads. And they were saying stuff like, my dad can do so many push-ups. Or my dad can, and talking about different things of strength and endurance and abilities. And they were just going back and forth. My dad, my dad, my dad. Oh, it was awesome. It's wonderful to see these guys are excited about their dads. And it was coming time. We needed to pray for the meal. And I was just listening. And I had to get them quiet. So one thing I said in just a little quiet moment, I said, but my dad. My dad made the world. And the boys stopped. They looked at me. And they were processing. They were thinking. They couldn't top that one. You boys remember that? Yeah. So what dads were talking about. All right. So my dad made the world. But an opportunity, right? an opportunity, just a small little opportunity, but it's a little window to saying, yeah, guys, it's great to be excited about your dad. Are you excited about the Lord? It's exciting to engage with the next generation. And guys, we have so much to teach. And we have so little time to do it. Can I get a witness on that? I hear it all the time from those of you that have gone on before. It goes so quickly, right? Yes, it does. So teaching them diligently. Now, keep your finger in Psalm 78. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. So we're going the other end of the Bible. Other end, New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. A family is a place, and it is a place for teaching, for investment. And we have to be purposeful in that investment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Don't miss the implication here. Children, obey your parents means that parents are giving instruction. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm no different than you guys. I'm very, very task-oriented. I like to work with my hands. I like to build things. And invariably, my boys want to be right there. Depending on what I'm doing, depends on which boy. And I, you know, it saddens me as I think about how often I will push on with the task. And if my boy wants to be there, good. If not, oh well. And it is such a struggle for me. Such an intense struggle for me to engage them and to bring them along, knowing that the project probably won't get done as fast. And it might look a little bit different than I had in my mind. But Lord God, help me to realize that the project pales in comparison to the work you want to do in my son. This is real with you. I'm being real. This is a real struggle I have in my life. God chose to give me a full house of children. And so, therefore, I don't see how tasks can get done. But you see the fallacy in the perspective. Oh, God, help me to be successful as my children's dad, that they might be godly. And it doesn't matter if that door is hung straight or that wall is built or if the garden is planted, but it matters that they walk with God. That I have, with no regrets, poured my heart and my soul into my children and taught them, have, as it says here, brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How are you doing with that? Fathers? How are you doing with that, parents? How are you doing? You know, one thing I'm excited about with this series, I'm excited about how many young people and young families we have in our church. And I'm excited about the privilege to invest in your life spiritually and to help you realize the investment of pouring truth into the life of your children. And start young. Start young. We're going to close by Psalm 78, which you've been there. Thank you for your patience. We're getting there now. Psalm 78, I have found to be one of the most equipping passages for me as a father, for us as parents. Because what it does is it lays out for us a model for teaching our children. The family unit is a place. It is a place for what? Here is your answer in Psalm 78. Verse 3 we read, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Listen, some of you testified today what your fathers had taught you. What do your children say about what their father has taught them? What a powerful question for evaluation, isn't it? Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. What are we showing? We are showing the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. What are you to do? Say you have an alone time with your son or your daughter. How do you fill that time? What are you to do with that time? Here are some answers for you. Fill it with time communicating to them and showing to them the praises of the Lord, of stories and accounts of His strength, of His wonderful works. Talk about what God has done. Make sure your children know God is real and working and living. Tell them. And tell them God made the world, because they're not going to get that from our society. They need to know God made the world. That makes a lot of difference, folks, in what your children are going to know and understand and how they're going to live. God made the world. God designed the family. Man, woman, father, mother, children. God did that. That's God's idea. What else? Verse 5. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What is He reminding us of? That the people of Israel, God came down and He made known to them His law. God made known His expectation. And dear ones, listen, we know what God expects of us. So make sure your children know what God expects of them. You might say, well, how do I know? The Word of God. The Word of God tells you what God expects of you. So make sure to transfer that to your children. And remember, don't farm it out to the Sunday school teacher. They'll get it at church. It can be a mentality far too often. You do it. And by the way, little side note, if you are supposed to do it, what does that mean for you? You better live it. You better live it. What better accountability than to know that your children are watching your life, and is your teaching matching your life? And accountability. Don't be afraid of accountability. Don't just not do it because you think you're going to have a hard time doing it. Of course you're going to have a hard time living it. Of course. But this is one of the beautiful things that I appreciated about my dad, because I know my dad wasn't perfect. But you know what happened? Is I saw God's grace come upon my dad to the point that he repented and he sought forgiveness even of his own children. And I'm not exalting my dad today. I'm exalting the grace of God in him and many others, where God has brought us to a point of saying, I've been wrong, and we've been willing to humble ourselves in the lives of others. And that is a beautiful picture of God's forgiveness. So yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's accountability, but do it. And that is going to speak volumes in the life, in the lives of your children. And I know I may be emphasizing things to the fathers here today, but women, you have a role to play right alongside of your husband. And there, maybe you're here today, there's no man in the picture. I know that there are families here today. I know that there are families that exist today where dad is gone, or mom is gone, or where there's one who loves the Lord and one who doesn't. I know. But God's grace supersedes that all of that. And so we tell our children what God has done. We tell our children that God has expectations for them. And verse 6, that the generation to come, this is the why. Why are we doing this? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Why are we to do this? That the next generation will know. You know, we take it for granted, don't we? We take it for granted that the next generation, of course, they're going to get it. That is not an automatic. It is not an automatic. In fact, the automatic is that our children will walk away from God, apart from God's grace in their life. And so pour the truth into them that the next generation might know. Why else are we doing this? Look at the next verse, verse 7. That they might set their hope in God. You see, we all have hope. And that's this thing that's this part of our life that we hold on to, that we look to. And some in our world set their hope in power, in authority, in finances, in a reputation, in a relationship. But listen, we need to set our hope in God. That's where it needs to set. And so the next generation needs to set their hope in God. And so therefore, this is the why. This is why we do the training, why we are diligent, because so that they set their hope in Him. That's what you desire, isn't it? That's what we want. Then this is the prescription. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. So we see, tell our children about what God has done. Make sure our children know that God has expectations for them, so that the next generation might know God's truth and might set their hope in God and not forget His works. You see, the sad story of those who do not do that is in verse 8. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. What a testimony. Stubborn and rebellious. A generation that did not set their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. May that not be your legacy. May that not be your testimony. May you not be described as a stubborn and rebellious man or woman, but rather a man or woman who set his heart on God, set his hope on God. So the family is God's design, God's idea. The family is a place. And this is a place that you have to work at and purpose, a place that by God's grace you can create to be a primary training ground for your kids. And it's a place, it's an environment where God's truth is taught and where communication is made on the things of God and where your children learn of the things that God has done, of the expectations that God has for them in life, so that they set their hope there. Yeah. So, you know, young people, as you look to the future, don't forget this truth. The family is that kind of place. And I trust that you have enjoyed that place. And if you have not enjoyed such a place as a child, whether you're young or whether you're old, I want you to realize something, that God calls himself Father. And he is always that special place where you can find truth, nurturing, and training from him. I want you to understand that if you don't have a mom and dad who pours into your life this kind of truth, that God has designed the church to be a place where spiritual moms and dads can come alongside of you and minister your truth, minister God's truth into your life. So there's a lot to think about today, isn't there? But boil it all down, family's a place. A place for what? A place for teaching, for investment in the lives of the next generation, that they might set their hope in God. Thank you, God, for this precious time, for your precious people, and love, Lord, I love your truth. It is invigorating to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.